Welcome to the Paranormal Peep Show.
Take it away, Elisa.
It's a peep show. Nipple slip.
Not that. Yeah, that was the problem you had last time. Is you're like, welcome to the peep show. I'm like, not that peep show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. The only podcast. No, it's not the only podcast. There's lots of them out there, but ours is better. So welcome to the better podcast, talking about the paranormal. Hope you guys all enjoyed the episode we did last week about, or 2 weeks ago, about the Ningen. I still can't say it right, but it's still a lot of fun. And I hope you guys laughed as much listening to it as we did when we were making, and when we were listening to it again. I was cracking up in the car. I don't know how you guys.
Oh, yeah. I
that was
couldn't
fun.
Stop laughing.
I just couldn't realize. I just didn't realize how funny I actually am.
Well, we'd let you think that.
I know. You're so kind. Well, anyways, welcome back. Just to let you know who we got here. We have the crew here, standard crew. To my right, we have the lovely
Jamie.
The lovely Jamie. And then the ever so dashing
Jamie.
We have the lovely Jamie and the ever
Jamie's
so.
Jamie's voice just went deep.
Yeah.
Josh.
Wow. Okay. So we got the lovely Jamie. We've got Josh. And going around,
Elisa.
And
Terry.
She's my wife. And I'm Mike. So anyway, we have a great show for you today. We are going to actually talk about something near and dear to our hearts, ghost hunting. And what's more fun, this is like actual experiences that we had. Which these make the best kind of stories, the best kind of discussions to have. So we're going to be talking about our semi-recent, I was a little over a month ago. But,
yeah, a little bit ago.
A little bit ago, but I went to the Idaho State Tuberculosis Hospital. In Gooding,
so
Idaho.
Fun.
So far away, all the way in Idaho. When I grew up, they always said BFI, right? But freaking Idaho. That's how far away it was.
Oh, it was such a fun road trip getting up there.
You know, though. We did have a lot of fun.
It was good.
So, anyway, so let's start off. Josh, have you guys, tell us let's talk about the tuberculosis, since it was a tuberculosis hospital. Or do you want to talk about the hospital itself first, the building, and then talk about tuberculosis? So many options.
Yeah, let's talk about the building itself first, and then we'll get into a little bit why it was repurposed.
Do it. Take it away.
All right. So, in Gooding, Idaho, there is now what's called the Gooding Inn. And it was actually originally a part of the Gooding College. Gooding College was founded by the Methodist Church with funds donated by Governor Frank Gooding in the town of Gooding. I'm kind of seeing a pattern here.
It's like nepotism.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my son, Archie. He runs the Gooding General Store. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's nice to have a whole town named after you when you're the governor.
What was
too.
I want to know what the population of this town was at that point.
You know, I didn't find
it. It's like one family.
I think it was like 200. Like, it wasn't very big. And it's still not very big. It's still a pretty tiny town.
The intersection of Gooding Avenue and Gooding Street?
Yeah. The one stoplight?
Right. No, not even a stoplight. It's like a stop sign. A yield sign.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. We digress a little bit.
A lot.
Oh, you didn't.
I did.
You did.
Take a drink.
Oh, wait. I got a different starting. Okay.
You're a little late.
I know. I just realized I had it on my paper. And I was like, oh. Go ahead. Okay. I'll start in later.
All right.
It'll be funny.
So, the main building of the campus was built and finished in, it was finished in November of 1917. It was a two-story building containing sleeping rooms on the second floor, on the top floor, and classrooms, offices, library, and a laboratory on the ground floor. The basement contained an auditorium, music room, and dining facility. So, and then in 1920, a second matching building was built and was a combination of dormitory and classrooms. And then the total campus size was 110 acres. Which is, that's a huge...
That's a lot of land.
That's a lot of land for two buildings.
That's because they had a very large soccer field. Yeah. For kick soccer.
Yeah. The kick. Is there another type of soccer?
Well, that's called kickball. It's like playing baseball, but... Yeah. We called it kick soccer when I was a kid. Oh. You know, you run around the bases.
Yeah, we just called it kickball.
Okay, same thing. We called it kick soccer, you know.
Yeah, but wouldn't soccer be called kick soccer?
Hey, I'm in Utah. Come on. We don't make any sense of things here.
We call it kickball, and I'm from Utah.
Yeah, same. And we came from Podunk Town.
Well, I came from the east side.
Your problem is you came from Sugar House.
Yeah.
That's the east side?
Yeah, it is.
Compared
east
to
side.
Where we live now. Yeah. We were up on the east bench.
He's on the east side. He was.
Went to the same high school as the Huntsmans. Come on, man.
Okay, fair enough.
And everybody else is like, who the heck are,
who
the,
are
Huntsmans?
The Huntsmans?
Yeah.
You have to Google it.
Yeah.
Their first graduation ceremony was held in 1919. And then by 1928, the college had a graduating class of 15 seniors.
Woohoo!
So many. With 32 enrolled for the next full semester. So, and that was 1928. But due to financial issues from the Great Depression, the college closed in 1938. So, some fun, interesting facts. They actually had a... one of the top quality debate teams, and so they would actually travel and the country and have people come and debate them. And then for all of you sporting fans out there, their team name was called the Bobcats, and their colors were purple and white. And they started playing baseball in 1918, and then in 1919 they started playing football. So they lost their first football game to the College of Idaho, 26-0.
Horrible beatdown.
Horrible beatdown.
But the thing is, you got to look at what kinds of students are these attracting? I mean, all that they offered was a Bachelor of Arts degree, right? Which is like writing English papers.
Yeah, but let's face it, like it's in farm country. Like, these are big old farm boys.
What do you do with a BA in English?
Nothing.
Nothing. Let's go play kickball.
Kick soccer.
That's right.
Well, and at the time, that was the only higher education available between Caldwell and Pocatello. There was nothing else out there for him to go to.
Well, it's because there was nothing between Caldwell and Pocatello.
That's right. There's nothing out there.
It's like, oh, look, there's a cow.
The thing is, so in 1920, they had another game, and they lost that game 90-0.
Oh, did they play the University of Utah?
No, I think it was College of Idaho again.
Oh, okay.
But you think, like, if you guys have ever seen the movie Leatherheads?
Yes. John Krasinski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a passing game back in 1920. So that was all running option football. And right. So that's a lot of running for a game.
Well, that's why they're all so smart. That's why they're going to get a B in English, because they got
a lot of cardio.
Headaches.
A lot of cardio. So that's all the information I have on it when it was actually a college. Do you guys have anything on that you'd like to add?
No, that's...
Had the peak enrollment, they had 209 students was the most they ever had.
Yep.
Was their peak enrollment.
And they also did night classes for high school there as well. So it was kind of like a, I don't know, I kind of almost equated to like a community center in that avenue where... you know, you got stuff going on during the day, but then you got like night classes and some other stuff going on at night. The part that I think I find the most interesting, because we've been in the basement of one of those buildings, and I can't see how you could have an auditorium in the basement. Like, it doesn't seem like there's enough room for any of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. One of the things I thought was interesting, but I didn't. Maybe you did say it already. It was established in 1970 by the Methodist Episcopal Church.
Yep.
Did you already say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Let off with that.
I was busy eating the Twizzlers. I'm sorry.
Twizzlers, not Red Vines?
I thought I got both right here.
Okay, what year was that?
I'm mixing the scene. 1917. But I thought the Methodists and Episcopals were different churches. Maybe they combined.
No, I didn't think the Methodist Church came into it until 1941.
No, they owned it. They've owned the land. Yeah, they had all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's, and you're thinking of how they how it became a TB hospital.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. I'm ahead in my notes. Sorry.
Yes. So in 1941, the property was donated by the Methodist Church to the state of Idaho. The interesting thing about that donation is it was donated with no say no lien or not lien, but no loan or anything else on it. It was just given to the state, free and clear.
Yeah.
110 acres of land.
More of like, I just want to wash my hands of this. I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, no, it was like it's a very Christ-like thing to do over a Methodist church to say, look, here, I'm just going to give you this land to create a hospital because there's a need.
But can you imagine if you still owed, let's see, we're talking 1941. So, I mean, what if they had still owed $40,000 on the land? Like,
yeah.
They kept the $40,000 debt, but they gave it to the state of Idaho free and clear.
Yeah.
So.
With expansive room for excessive kickball fields.
There's a lot of grass out there.
There's a lot of grass.
Oh my gosh, how many times did you hear that lawnmower when we were down there? Or up there?
Quite a few times.
That lawnmower was always growing.
And that's just the lawn. Yeah. That's not counting the fields.
No. Which are all farmers' fields now. So renovations began on the building and were completed in 1947. And then shortly after, about 40 patients moved in. So they ended up taking the two buildings at the time, which were there, and then they ended up building in between those two an actual modern hospital as well. And it was actually attached to the first building that was there. And then the hospital consisted of, like I said, the two Gooding buildings and a hospital that was attached to the 1917 building. And the hospital stayed in operation until 1947. After being abandoned, we got some reports. We talked to some local people there. We asked them what happened to the building after it was abandoned, because I think we got some weird stories about what was going on with those buildings. And so the two gals that we talked to who work at the gas station there, the big like country store gas station, they said it was actually converted and used with the Walker Center for alcohol and drug rehab. I mean, I can't remember the stories that we heard, but it was some
weird
stuff.
These ladies were awesome. They're like,
so nice.
I can tell you all about it. We used to go climb over there when we were high schoolers, and we'd go in there, and there was all kinds of drunk parties. Yeah. It was the place to go hang out.
It was. And what's funny is she was talking about going in there and having, you know, attending the parties, and her friend that she was working with shot her like the evilest of looks, like, what were you doing in there? And then they were all, the 1917 building and its connecting hospital were eventually torn down in the 2000s. I didn't see a final date on that, but they mentioned again that it was torn down just a handful of years ago. So I think it was about 10 years.
Yeah, it wasn't very long. They said it was just recent, you know, recent memory type stuff.
Yeah. So, and
so
then,
if we'd have gone there 15 years ago, those buildings still would have been there.
And did we ever find out where those buildings were located?
Yes. Yeah. So if you're looking at the back of the building and look left, there's that community center thing.
Yeah.
They were on that direction.
Okay.
As I hit my wife in the face with my hands.
Here, smell my finger.
They stretched over. If you go to Gooding, Idaho, and you come into town coming from I-84, there is, you get to that first intersection, there's a big Chevron, a big convenience store. That's where met these ladies. But the buildings came all the way into the backside of those,
yeah,
of that convenience store.
Yeah, it was all the way down that. It was a pretty decent size structure. And then, of course, behind that is the actual new modern day hospital.
Right. Which I think they probably tore it down to build the hospital and to have that, and to build a convenience store, because that's what
the town
commerce
needs.
Decides.
It was an Ace Hardware store / convenience store.
It's Idaho.
It had everything.
Everything was in it. That
was
so cool.
It had a hot pink electrical like extension cord I wanted.
There,
it was
there
cool.
There were like ball gags and things in there.
Those wow. are for horses.
Oh, wait. Those are bits for horses, yeah. And the little whips, but...
It was a riding crop.
Yes. It doesn't mean we didn't have fun walking around the store going,
Doesn't mean we bought them and took them home either.
How do you know we didn't?
That's true. You went back a couple different times, so...
You guys got some really cool bottles of wine.
We did. Unicorn. Oh my gosh, what was it?
I don't remember.
It was a picture of a unicorn taking a a leak in a bucket.
Is it just called Unicorn Kiss?
It was the ghost one. There was a ghost one.
Oh, and there was a ghost one, too. Yeah,
the ghost one had a story about it too. Like some, it was like a haunted winery and stuff, and so it was like the lady.
Yeah, it was the story of the.
And if you got it up in the and held it up at the bottle up in the light, you can see like the image of like a ghost kind of
shining through it.
Comes through. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It was really neat. It was a neat bottle.
So as soon as you open it, like the girl from The Ring is going to climb out and like get you.
Pour you a glass of wine.
She's going to get you. Yeah, she'll bring you the wine. Here you go.
And so yeah, so the only building now that remains is the 1920 building. And then a family, I think Mike, you got some more information on this, right?
Which information? The family that bought it?
Yeah.
So it was, the owner of the Get Inn, Tony Woodford, he and his wife, Alicia, along with their partner, Gary Hannon, acquired the property in the fall of 2004 from Ron Adams, whose family bought it from the state in the 1970s. So that's kind of who had it from the 70s, was the Adams family. And then, you know, like I said, then Tony Woodford and his wife had bought it, and they called it the Get Inn. And then it was bought and sold again, and then now it's the University Inn. But fun stuff, though.
Yeah, and it's... Like, the inside of the building, it's been fully refurbished, and it's really nice.
Except for the hallways. They're super creaky.
Very creaky.
Yeah. Those floors.
Not necessarily creepy, but creaky.
Creaky.
They were a little creepy, too.
A little bit.
You heard anything and anyone walking down those hallways.
But what you
or talking
didn't,
in those hallways.
But what you didn't hear, though, is when you were in your room, you could not really hear out.
Uh-uh.
Like, no.
Those rooms are really quiet. Which is actually quite nice because, mm-hmm. like, even in, like, modern-day hotels, like, you can hear people in their rooms. And sometimes, you know, we'll always want to be hearing people in their rooms.
Right.
Silence.
I'll be honest. We were tired. Because when you go ghost hunting, if you've
never... We slept in separate beds, you guys. Come on.
If you've never been ghost hunting before and you're up all night, it wears you out, and so when you finally get a chance to hit the pillow, man, you're pretty much gone.
That's why you have the ghost investigator hangover the next day.
The paranormal hangover.
Yep. Everyone gets it.
I mean, we had fun trying to decide what room we wanted to sleep in, but we needed to have two beds so we could have separate beds.
That's the way you guys get room, you like stretch out. And
100%.
Oh man, it was so nice.
Going from a king size bed and then trying to sleep in a queen size bed together, it ain't no fun.
Oh, Jamie and I, when we go and visit family, we end up sleeping in a full
sleigh bed.
In a sleigh bed, and like so, he's like I'm curled up in a fetal position, but I can't really move.
Diagonal.
And then the mattress is older than we are.
Oh man, so you like sink in?
No.
Or it's hard as rock.
It's basically the wires. It's basically the wires with a little bit of thin
it's
fabric
like
on it.
Wafer thin?
Yeah, it's so rough.
Anyways. Yeah. No, the way they remodeled it, the rooms are actually really, really nice. That's why we had a hard time trying to decide which room we wanted, because each one is so unique and so different.
Yeah, some had bathrooms connected and some of them didn't.
And some of them had bunk beds in them. I mean, mm-hmm. there was one room that slept like 8 people in one room. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they had 4 bunk beds in there. Like, I think they had like 2 triple bunk beds and then like a normal bed in there, and so...
Now, you hear this, and you're at home, you're thinking, it's like, wait, this is like an inn, like a bed and breakfast, or like a hotel, but it's got like 8 bunk beds and all this. They actually market it as a, it's like built for, it's like an old dormitory, and so they're built for capacity, and they're built, and they're kind of like, come have your family reunion here. If you like your family that much, you could, but yeah, that's kind of what they market as. So you can have like 50 people, a large family, all in just like one wing.
And it would be so fun because you've got game rooms, you've got the basement that you can...
There's the theater room in the basement.
There's a ballroom.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Not like anybody has balls anymore, but... Well, wait, that didn't sound right.
No, that did not sound right.
Well, if you watch the news, they kind of don't. We call them politicians.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can we just insert the AC/DC song here?
Yeah. We've got the biggest balls of the month. Okay. So you could have a dance down there if you wanted to.
You could. And then, like, the kitchen's got 2 stoves. Like, the kitchen's huge.
Oh, my gosh. This great room. It's like this common place meeting room that
we had so much fun.
It's got to be 100 feet long. Like from
easily.
I mean, if you can get your mind out that it was originally a tuberculosis hospital and that there was people dying there,
that
you're
going to
have your reunion there.
The building that we were in was actually never a hospital itself.
The building, the 1920 building, housed doctors and nurses and just staff. So it wasn't actually, no patients actually have ever slept or been in those building, in that building.
They didn't necessarily die in that building, but they did die.
They did.
Next door.
And I think you have some information about who has passed.
There
right?
were some names that came up. Now, Ghost Adventures, if you ever watch that show, there are a little bits of truth in there here and there. And they did do some research and found some people who actually had passed away there.
Did the research?
Producers. Some people associated with the show. There was an Earl Jenkins. These are people who actually died there as it was a tuberculosis hospital. So I'm assuming that these are tuberculosis patients. And I wanted to go because I know that at least one of them was buried over in the cemetery not far, but we never made it over to the cemetery.
No, we never did we?
Well, we had too much fun just hanging out in the big room and going to the convenience store. There was Earl Jenkins, died on November 18th, and I don't even have the year, and how did I not get that? I apologize, everyone. But he was from Portland. He was a member of the Lutheran Church, and he was buried in the Elmwood Cemetery, which is probably maybe, 300 yards from the hospital itself. 300 yards as the crow flies. To get to it, you have to kind of go up around through town and down back streets. But the Elmwood Cemetery, he was age 25 when he passed away. There was a Geneva Turner, age 40, an Isaac Tala, age 68, and he was a logger by trade. There was Eloy Montoya, Anton Beaver. He was aged 81, born in 1883 and died in 1964. There was Johnny and Eli, whoever they were. And according to Ghost Adventures, there was activity in rooms 20 and 3. 20 and 3, as well as the basement.
Didn't we stay in 3?
You guys were in 3. Yes. Now, on their show, they like...
Zach, you guys had stuff happen to you in that room. We're going to circle back to that.
We're going to come back to that, yeah. On their show, there was a kid that... there was like a ghost... spirit of a child apparently that was holding the door shut, like they thought the door was locked, and so Zach Baggins couldn't go inside. But
and that was in room 3.
That was room 3, and then in room 20, the housekeeper had said that she had seen, she was in the bathroom because that was one of the rooms that had a Joyce adjacent bathroom, and she was in the bathroom kind of cleaning the sink and then looked in the mirror, and behind her she saw into the bedroom, and by the foot of the bed there was an older gentleman. Kind of a crankier older gentleman that, looking at her.
You said housekeeper, right?
Yeah.
So she's actually the owner.
She's the one who lives on site.
She lives on site. And so I actually talked with her a little bit. So when Jamie and I got there ahead of everybody else, I just had a quick conversation because I don't remember ever seeing that episode. So I was
you didn't miss a whole lot. Come on, man. It's okay.
So I just asked if she had any experiences and stuff like that. And then she relayed that same story to me and about it being in that room.
Well, you see something like that, it sticks with you.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when you see a full apparition, even if it's in a mirror, it sticks with you.
Yeah, because the way that it's set up, there's there's the east wing and a west wing. And we stayed in the west wing. And then in the basement of the east wing is where she lives with all of her family. Like, they all live on site.
They're also on the second floor, too.
Are they on the second floor?
Yeah, so when you walk in down by the, I don't know, front doors, because we came in the back. But up by the front doors, right there, that's where you end up having to knock.
And it's a big family that they've got living there on site.
Oh, it's big, yeah.
So
but they're super nice.
Yeah, very nice people.
And they got two fun cats.
Yeah, they're super so friendly. Cute.
We went and bought kitty treats two? To give them.
I think, well...
There were more than two, weren't there?
I saw two.
I only saw two.
And I held and petted one of them, so...
But you know what? I didn't see one mouse the whole time we were there. So.
No, not a single mouse.
So they must be doing their jobs.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the investigation itself. So, I mean, we could talk about the driving. Or actually, you know what? Before we do that, since this was a tuberculosis hospital, let's talk about what is tuberculosis. I've heard it called the forgotten plague.
Consumption.
Plagues is something that's on our mind right now.
White death.
The COVID plague. Yeah. It was basically like COVID, but it was... No, I'm just kidding. It was much worse than COVID.
Much worse.
It was horrible.
And,
horrible.
For those of you who don't know, it is still an active pandemic in the world, and it claims a million lives a year.
So they recently just had an outbreak just a couple years ago with it.
Yep.
I have to get tested every year for it in my job. I love it.
Is that the little poke on the arm?
No. They've actually they have a new test for it that they do, actually. And they can just do a whole blood test.
Oh.
And they had one where they would do like 4 vials. Now they can just do 1, which is really nice.
4 vials? That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, they're little tiny ones. But it just shows that they're still progressing in testing on this, too,
yeah,
nowadays. Because they've even changed the way that they test. Because they used to do just the injection under the skin.
Yeah. And then they'd read your arm and see if you had a bump. And they're like, yep.
Yeah.
You've had TB.
Yeah. They don't even do that anymore.
Oh, that's good.
Well, they might. I don't know. But they do whole blood testing for it now.
Well, I know Josh has a lot of history about where TB, you know, kind of TB over the ages. Just kind of, if you've never heard of TB, what it is, or tuberculosis, TB for short, it's caused by a bacterium called Myobacterium tuberculosis. And what it does is it usually affects your lungs, but it can attack any part of the body, including the kidney, the spine, and the brain. Not everyone infected with TB bacteria becomes sick. But as a result, 2 TB-related conditions exist. They've got latent TB infection, or LTBI. We all like acronyms, right? The LTBI. And then we have TB disease. And if not treated properly, TB disease can become fatal. So that's the patients who are coming to these hospitals. But, I mean, it had been around forever before.
Yeah. And we're talking like an ancient disease. There's theory that it's been around for 3 million years.
Would make sense.
You know, yeah.
Bacteria. I mean, that's what survives
everything. Yeah. So TB in humans can be traced back to 9,000 years ago. And I'm going to butcher this city, but it's Atlit Yam. A city now underneath the Mediterranean Sea, and it's off the coast of Israel. Archaeologists found TB in the remains of a mother and child buried together. Now, the earliest written notices or written documentation of TB was 3,300 years ago in India and 2,300 years ago in China. So, yep, another...
another Chinese virus.
Another Chinese virus. But this wouldn't be a virus, though, now. This would be more
this
of a...
This is bacteria.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and how's bacteria spread? I mean, this is something... Nowadays, we know this, you know. Cleanliness, right? Wash your hands.
Yep.
Blow your nose. Don't just blow it on your sleeve and then wipe it on your friend. I mean, I don't know.
That's always fun.
Ew.
You.
Boys.
But hygiene has come a long ways. I always thought it would be fun to fantasize about going back in time, right? You know, Bill and Ted, this guy's adventure, you know, and they're going back to like the medieval ages and see the princesses and stuff. It's like, oh yeah, that's great. It's like, yeah, but you know what? Those princesses bathed once a year, whether they needed it or not. You know how gross everybody had to smell?
Oh, it had to be awful.
You know, I mean, it would be nasty. And so I don't think it would be a fun trip to go back in history, even back 100, 200 years ago.
Well, I like flushing toilets.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
What would I do without my bidet? But this is back before Diet Coke.
But, you know, we live in what now would be considered, what used to be considered the Wild West, right? In this lovely Utah.
Yes.
There's nothing wild about us now.
No, nothing wild anymore. But, like, they would, like, you would pay extra if you got to be the first person to take a bath in the water. But, like, another 6 to 8 people would take a bath in the water that you just took a bath in. So, imagine how nasty the water is when you're 8 or 9.
So that's why they get people line up and you're like, how much am I willing to pay to be ahead of that guy?
Right? It's like, oh, I got paid extra money this week. Oh, I think I'm going first.
Yeah. It's like, you remember the character from Toy Story, Stinky Pete, the prostate?
Yeah.
They were all Stinky Pete.
Everybody was Stinky Pete.
So anyway, so hygiene has come a long ways. And a lot of that, I think, is part of that is a result of these diseases being passed around. You know, they had to find a way to combat these things. And so hygiene became kind of something they pushed. I mean, we had that with COVID. I mean, everybody that's listening to this has dealt with this.
Yeah.
You know,
same thing.
Wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Watch, you know, don't be that close talker guy anymore. Well, distance yourselves.
You know, what's interesting, though, is
hand sanitizer.
The flu season that hit during the pandemic was like non-existent because everybody was being hygienic.
Yeah.
Covering her mouths and walking around with masks on. So, it's amazing how just the simple things like that can actually prevent the spread of infectious disease.
And yet, the flu didn't get eradicated because of it. Wouldn't it be awesome if that did?
That would be great. Yeah.
Nope. You're going to get the flu next year. Just wait.
Yeah. So, the interesting thing is, because we're talking about the 1930s, you know, 1940s, like 50s, like, what we would consider like the U.S. like heyday of tuberculosis. But the first case was in 1893 in New York.
Right.
And so like we're still talking, you know, another 60 years before or 50 years or 50, 60 years before it actually becomes a major issue inside the U.S.
In the United States, yeah. So do you want to talk about the history of like tuberculosis anymore or do you want to just get to the hospital?
Let's just get to our investigation now.
So here's the opening that I had meant when I was writing all my notes out. I was going to start off like this because I thought it was really cool. But I just like, in a land where potatoes outnumber people 21,347 to 1, one hospital built in the middle of nowhere would stand to save the planet.
And yet we didn't eat any potatoes the whole time we were there.
We didn't, but that is a legitimate statistic.
And fries.
They had McDonald's.
In 2000...
Their fries, I'm sure, did not come from Idaho.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't.
But they were potatoes.
You guys went to McDonald's? We went to Jack in the Box on the way there. It was amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. Anyway, so that statistic, 21,347 to 1. That is the statistic, the ratio of potatoes to people in 2000, I think it was 19. So,
I can't believe someone actually built that statistic.
You can find anything on Google, on the internet, it's true, too. It was fact-checked. I didn't check it through Snopes. Anyhow.
Jeez.
So, let's go about the hospital. So, let's talk about the investigation.
Yeah. So we broke up into some fun teams. Mike and I went out together. Jamie and...
We went out together. It was nice.
Yeah. We had a lot of alone time together.
Ew.
We just swapped partners. I took your wife, you took my husband. We're all good.
We did. Exactly. That's exactly what happened, actually.
That's what happens when you go out of state. Yeah. You wouldn't normally do.
It's okay. I'll take Jamie anytime.
So why don't you guys... Why don't you guys kick us off and talk about where you guys were at?
We've talked a lot.
Yes. Like us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not ready.
Yeah.
Well, you started off in the basement, right?
Yeah, Josh.
So let's start.
Josh banished us to the basement.
So let's start at the bottom and we'll work our way to the top. Cool?
Cool.
Floor by floor. In the basement, two ladies armed with a... What did you have?
We took the Flux down there, and we took the REM pod down there, and what else did we have? We had our dowsing rods.
Flashlight, of course.
With the flashlight.
Digital recorder. I think that was about
it. I tried to get you to take the K2.
Oh, I ovulus. Hate the K2!
We took the ovulus.
Oh, yeah, we did have the ovulus. Yeah, That's right. So, and we got down there and we decided we didn't want to go over into the banquet room. We just didn't feel comfortable being in there. We had my daughter with us and we just didn't feel comfortable being over in the banquet. So we actually went into the theater room, which was, they had like a screen and chairs and they had a couple games in there and stuff. And so we put the REM pod right in front of the doorway. So if anything came into the room, it would set off the REM pod on us. And then we put the Flux down on the floor in the middle of us.
Yeah, next to the ball.
Yeah, and then we put the ball in there. So if the ball moved, we'd see the ball move. And then just sat there and waited. And we were getting a lot. Well, we also had, we had the Ghost Meter Pro.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because we were getting a lot of action on the Ghost Meter Pro.
Yep.
A lot of action on the Ghost Meter Pro. And we found out, we were talking to this little girl, and her name was Katie. And it was fun because she like come over and she'd start playing with it, and then she like disappear. I'm like, well, where'd she go? And then all of a sudden she'd come back, and then we're like, oh, Katie's back. And then she'd leave again. So it was just this little girl that kept coming in. And then we were getting stuff off the flux too.
Yeah. How did you come to know her name was Katie? Do you remember?
That's a good question. I think our daughter was the one who actually figured out that her name was Katie. Because I think we figured out it was a K with the dousing rods. And then we just kind of throwing out K names. And then Annika threw out Katie. And that's how we got her name was Katie. But the thing is like when she would leave, you could feel there was a change in the room. Because then there was that creepy guy that showed up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wasn't it out in the hallway where we all heard what either sounded like a growl or like something moving, like a chair being.
Yeah, we thought like a chair had been like dragged across the ground.
Yeah,
or
but
something.
We weren't sure if it was that or if it was an actual growl.
Yeah, there was something out in the hallway that was really just not nice.
But it didn't seem to want to come in. It didn't want to cross where the REM pod was. It just kind of stood, I think, outside of the door.
Yeah. And then she would come back and then the guy out there would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then we were getting a little bit of play on the flux.
Actually, it was really cool. It's the first time. I mean, I've seen the flux work before, but I have never seen it work to that extent.
Yeah. Cause we were like, they're letting them know which side was yes and no versus the red and the green. And we were actually getting legit answers out of it.
Yeah.
We did find out at one point it was your dad.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. He was just showing us it could work.
Yeah, because we weren't sure it was going to work, and then it worked, and we figured out it was your dad. But then I think Katie played with it for a little bit, but she kept going back to the Ghost Meter Pro. Yeah.
And we did. I was actually using my cell phone to videotape all this with the Flux, and I haven't had a chance to watch it. It's on the external hard drive. But I wanted to watch it and go back and remember. I wanted to go back and see if we could hear that growl or whatever that was.
We were going
to
go back and see if we could hear that growl.
Yeah, I still need to do that and then maybe post it.
So, and then there was one point where when we were down there, we saw a big flash of light. It was behind you.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
You really didn't see it, but I caught it out of my peripheral, and Annika was looking right out the hall and saw the big flash of light.
Other people saw it too.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Well, we're going to cover that flash of light on every floor, and we'll go back to that flash of light. But yeah, so... I think that was pretty much all that really happened
down
in the
there.
Basement. We couldn't get the ball to move. We couldn't get the REM pod to go off.
Nope.
But we pretty much was talking to Katie and then your dad.
Yeah.
And then there was just that. We really didn't want to give any attention to the mean guy.
The negative.
Because we were trying to kind of avoid and not give him any attention because we had my daughter there with us. But
yeah, exactly.
So, and then that was it.
That was about it.
Awesome. So that's the basement. This is like the opening rotation. Because then the point was we would all move and rotate after like an hour or so. So then on the main floor, we had Josh and I.
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Josh.
So Mike and I decided to investigate the great room.
It was great.
It was great.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. And we had a lot of fun. The crazy thing was, is we heard a lot of noise happening when we were there. But because our backs were to the kitchen, and that's where the noises were coming from, it was really actually kind of hard to tell what was going on. We just kind of chalked it up to mainly like ice maker and random.
Like the fridge. I mean, there's like a gigantic fridge and a big ice maker. There's like several stoves. I mean, it was an active big kitchen.
Yeah.
And so there was too many things that we couldn't rule out.
Yeah.
Now, I think some of it probably could have been paranormal from the energy that was in that place.
Yeah, I think
so. But I can't say for sure. So.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing, right? It's like when you're experiencing things, like, not everything's paranormal and not everything's not paranormal. And so if you're left, you know, with questions, you kind of end up just throwing it out because it's, you wouldn't want to say, well, yeah, that was something, and then come to find out it was the ice maker or just the compressor kicking on. So
right, right. We always try to debunk first. That's always absolutely the best practice.
But yeah, it was crazy too, because we're sitting there talking, and then, you know, we saw that big flash of light, you know, in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, I was like, you know what? It's like, that's got to be one of the other teams taking pictures.
Flashlight, camera.
Yeah, because that was on the end of the hall where the stairwell was. And so we're like, yeah, that's got to be something, you know, pretty normal.
No, we did talk to some spirits in that room. We did have quite a bit of activity. There were three ladies that we talked to.
We did talk to Katie.
And there was a little girl named Katie that we were talking to. We found her name by the same means, dowsing rods through the K, guessing the names. Yep, this is Katie. And so I was like, okay, so we were talking to Katie, and then she'd disappear. It was like, oh, Katie's gone.
That's so cool.
And then she'd come back. And so when we were discussing everything afterwards, and
when we came up to the floor when we were doing the next rotation and we were telling you guys we were talking to Katie, you're like, we were talking to a Katie too.
You know, and she's like, that's what makes this so much fun.
So we were figuring out she kept going up to them and then she'd come back down to us.
Active little kid,
and
just running around that place.
Yeah.
Playing with everybody's toys. So, but what we also had in the main floor was her mother who was there. And I don't remember, I don't think we ever got her mother's name.
I don't think we did.
She didn't want to really participate. She was happy that we were there. She was willing to observe, willing to let Katie play with the toys that we'd brought. But that was about, you know, she just didn't want to participate. And then there was another lady that I believe her name we came up with was Heather.
I don't remember.
I want to say it was Heather. This is a whole month ago. I mean, I can barely remember yesterday. Which isn't very good. But this lady was killed in a car accident down on I-84. She had been a college student from Boise. She had been killed in a car accident down on the freeway and had somehow found her way to this hospital and just liked the spirits there. And so she's just like, I'm just going to chill here.
Well, yeah, and the I-84 is what, 15 miles, 10? 15 miles?
It's not real far.
It's not real far, but it's not exactly what you would consider, hey, let's go hang out here 15 miles and nothing.
She didn't die in the hospital.
No. She died in a car accident. This was like much more recent. This is somewhere, but I want to say, oh, you know, we never asked.
No.
But I got the impression it would have been like somewhere from the 90s
forward
to more recent.
Well, yeah, considering like cars aren't
that
old.
There was that active, there's the hospital right there that's still active.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
She was in the accident and then was brought to the hospital. She's just there across the field.
Yeah.
We were hearing the ambulances and stuff going to the hospital.
That helicopter.
And there was the helicopter, the life flight right there.
Yeah.
So I could see where if somebody died over there in that hospital, ended up over into where the tuberculosis hospital is at.
That's true. I guess
it makes sense.
We actually had one, tell you about later.
Yeah, I don't think we asked.
Yeah.
See, if you'd have been investigating with us, we would have found out so much more. We're just two dudes, like, just, you know, did you see that light? Yeah. That was cool.
It's cool.
That's cool. That's all we did. No, just kidding.
It's dark.
You sound like two stoners.
I can confirm nor deny anything. I was not under any influence of anything there. No. We don't do that while we're investigating. It's dangerous. It's bad practice. So.
No bueno. Yep.
No, we just sat there, we just talked, and we had a lot of fun talking to Katie, and then she disappeared, and then we're like, just hanging out, just kind of, that's what ghost investigating typically is, a lot of sitting and just
staring off into the dark.
There was
did you hear that?
There was one point where me and Jamie were like, we're just going to kind of socialize and just talk, because we don't get to talk to each other.
It can get boring after a while. Yeah. I mean, you're just sitting there and nothing's happening.
Now, I did see one full body apparition up here in the doorway, and it's because, well, I'm a little loud. If you haven't figured that out yet. And all of a sudden, I hear a creak in the hallway, and all of a sudden, a female figure appeared in the doorway.
Boom.
And she looked a lot like Elisa. And she said,
like, shut your mouth.
You're too loud. Because they were upstairs on the second floor. And so we had to turn our investigation.
It was so funny because on my recording, I would hear Mike go, I'm Mike.
Yes.
I'm Josh.
Oh, let me tell you, when I'm trying to sleep, because I work the graveyard shift, like you all know, if he's out there on a phone call, I can hear him through our whole house. Oh. I'm like, dude.
It's the same. It's the same with my husband. With my husband, I'm like, we're all here. You don't need to yell. And the person on the phone can hear you just as good.
But you know what? So I work in a call center, okay? Just to give you some background. I work in a call center. I'm the only male. Well, now there's two of us males, but I'm louder, right? People will call in and they'll say, somebody called. I didn't catch their name. I could hardly hear them. Right? They don't ever happen. That never happens when I call them. So I'm just going to say it. They're like, oh, no, I hear you just fine. You're great. So that's where I come from. You're welcome.
I think it's a guy thing because yeah. Jamie complains I'm too loud all the time.
Well, we're just not meek. Maybe it's a meekness thing. I don't know. We're just loud and proud, man.
We're just loud.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then Lisa.
Yes.
So let's talk about the second four then.
Yeah.
So actually, I had something happen right before we even started ghost hunting.
Oh, that's right. I have a picture of this too.
Yes. So we better put this
up.
We
are totally posting this picture.
So before we started, everyone was getting their equipment out and I was like, crap, I need to go get mine. So I walked upstairs and
I just whipped out my equipment on the, never mind.
Oh, heavens.
Sorry. You said it. I went there. My bad.
So I walked up the stairs cause all my stuff, cause I was staying up on the second floor and I went and grabbed all my equipment. Well, first, as I'm going up the stairs, I stop at the first part of the hall and instantly it felt like I was getting stared down more than by just one. It felt like multiple that I was getting stared down by. And so I stopped and because at this point I'm pretty open and I turn and I look down the hall and I could feel where they were. I mean, I don't see things, but I feel things. And so I could feel where they were and I look down at the hall and I'm like, I know you know that I can feel you and that you're there and I know you know what we're about to do and all the things and you're upset. I get it. And then it was like, you know when like a bully just like really stares you down and just like gives you that dirty look or whatever? And that's what it felt like right after I said that. And I was like,
now this is on the second floor?
The second floor, yeah.
And you were down
right at the top of the stairs.
You were by the top of the stairs and you're mm-hmm. looking down the hallway.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were at the other end of the hall.
This was before we even started investigating. Right. She was getting equipment to come out. Yeah.
So I was like, I can tell you're trying to intimidate me or try to scare me. It's not going to work. Don't waste your time. Right? I walk to my room, which is a little bit down the hall. Grab my stuff. I have my hands full because I have a big case. I've got all the other stuff in my other hand. And I'm walking down the hall and starting going back down the stairs. And then I feel my arm start burning a little bit. And I'm like, oh, well, we kind of know what that means when you're investigating, when something starts burning, but there's no possible way for it to burn. So I get downstairs and I put my stuff down, but it's by that time it is burning a lot
you
more.
You hadn't even put your stuff down.
No, well.
Because you still had everything in your hands because you're like, obviously I did not do this because how can I do this?
Yeah, my hands were full.
Your hands were full of stuff because, yeah.
So I put my stuff down and I had long sleeves on too. So I pulled my sleeve back, and then you can see on my arm three red scratches. Well, it wasn't even a scratch. They were just three red, you know. I mean, they were scratches, but it didn't, like, get into my skin, right? It just made my skin really...
They were, like,
really...
red welted lines.
Red, yeah. Yeah, red lines down
Yeah, just
arm.
Red lines.
Like, the one and only picture I took the whole entire weekend we were out there. I got home, and I made the comment, and I was like, how did we not take more pictures while we were there? Because there were so many cool things that you were taking pictures of.
So I think for me, that situation was them trying to intimidate, trying to show me, well, look, I've got power too. Like, I can scare you. But that was not my reaction when I came down.
They were kind of scratches, but they weren't like deep scratches. It's more of kind of like a...
Yeah, it didn't break the skin or anything. Yeah. It was just... But it did burn.
Yeah,
they
were
a lot.
They were hoping for the Zach Bagans reaction from you. And you're like,
the only other pictures
whoa!
I took
did like, you see that?
Tonight's going to be a good night. I'm excited.
Whoa. Like,
so
the only other pictures I took were the
our little ghosty.
Your glow in the ghost, the glow in the dark ghost from your game you brought.
Yeah. So that was how it started for me. And then, so I'm like, oh man, this night is going to be such a good night. So I,
that was me.
I started on the second floor. It was me and Laura. We were up there. And We walked into some of the very back rooms back there. We kind of walked down the hall trying to figure out, okay, what are we feeling from all these rooms? What feels thicker? What feels like there's nothing in there? So we went to the back rooms and they felt the thickest. And so we sat in one of them, I think on the left side.
This is down where you're getting stared down from.
Yeah, this is exactly where I was focusing on down the hall on the left side. So without even thinking about that part, we walked into one of those rooms because that's where it felt the most thick. And I started doing a live EVP session, which means that I've got my recorder and I have my headphones hooked into my recorder so that I can hear EVPs happening as I'm recording instead of having to wait and listen back. So I'm listening to that. That's where I'm focusing on. And then Lara's focusing on what she's feeling and seeing in the room. So we pick up on a female, and it felt very sad. Like, she didn't feel so, like, mad or angry or anything like that. It just felt very sad. We found out that her name is Margaret with the rods as well. And so when we do that, we have the rods out, and then we tap, you know, A, B, C, D, until we get to the one that they want. Anyways, figured out her name was Margaret. And that she was from Montana. In her early 20s, so young, she wasn't married. But then when we started asking about how she passed away, it got really sad. Like, really, really sad. And we're like, whoa, the emotion in the room just completely changed. Confirming with the dowsing rods and what Lara was picking up on.
Wait, now, who was using the dowsing rods?
Me.
So just to pause things for a minute.
Yeah, they've started working for her.
You guys have to understand. So
yes.
For a longest time, Elisa has had dowsing rods.
I've had them for years.
Very frustrated that they would never work for her.
And I remember her sitting out at Benson one time just like, just please, just one little cross is all I want.
So as she's telling you this, I want you to understand what a amazing thing this is, that these rods are actually working for her.
It was a huge deal. Like, I was very excited. I was like, I do not want to put these down. So fun.
Do they still work? Do you know? Have you tried them since?
No, not since the... They worked at Petite Neat, and then they worked at...
So they still work. See, you were cured at the TB hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Continue. So, I just want you guys to understand how cool this is that Elisa is able to use rods to get the confirmations of what they're feeling.
It's so exciting.
And that does mean now that everybody on this podcast can use rods.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true. Yep. Well,
then. Yep.
Yep. I know. I was always so jealous of everyone. So, okay. So confirming with the dowsing rods, we found out that she was pregnant, but she wasn't married. So, you know, back then it wasn't like a good thing. It wasn't an acceptable thing to be pregnant and not married.
Very much frowned upon.
And it was like they would send you away to have your baby and then come back without the baby, right? So she was really scared, really nervous. She did have a boyfriend, but anyways, didn't tell him that she was pregnant and hung herself. So that's what we found out through the rods and through what Lara was picking up on. And then...
Did she hang herself at the hospital or was it somewhere else?
Somewhere else.
Okay.
So she was from Montana. So somehow she got to that hospital and has been there for a while.
And was she in the last room on the left?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So then we went across over to the last room on the right. And right when we were walking in, we heard an audible whimper, like a little kid whimper. And we're like, oh, that sounds so sad. But we hadn't even like started. I don't think I recorded it. I don't know. Maybe I got it. But anyways, we walked into that room and we found out that there was a little boy named Noah. And super cute little guy, and was kind of playing with all the little equipment. And he passed away at the hospital next door fairly recent. So it wasn't, I think it was a pretty recent one. And so we're like, well, why are you here? Like, are you looking for somebody? Are you looking for your mom? And the rods went like, yes. Okay. So he, we found out that he died by a fall. And, what was cool is while we were chatting with him, he started playing with the latch on my case. So all of a sudden you hear it go and flick. It was
creepy.
It was cute. We were like, oh, I wish we had something that he could play with.
We had the ball in the basement.
I know. We should have told him to go down there.
Yeah, we all had tons of toys. You could have come and played with any of those.
And, yeah.
And I think we had a car, too. Yeah.
And then he picks your suitcase latch?
Yeah, he totally
That's
did.
That's just...
It's like you buy the most expensive toy and the kid wants to play with the box.
I know, right? Right?
Right.
So he kept going out into the hall. And so, like, he didn't want to be in that room. And we heard the whimper in the hall. So we went... I felt like, I'm like, let's go back out in the hall. So we sat out there for a little while. And all of a sudden, like, my neck got really cold. Really, really cold. And then Laura's like, oh, it's so cute. And he's hugging your neck. I'm like, oh, man, it's freezing. Like, it was so cold. But it just reminded me, like, you know, when a little kid comes up and just squeezes around your neck and then leaves. And that's exactly what happened. She crossed him over once he hugged my neck and then he left.
I've seen your own son do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you get an age on how old Noah was? Do you remember?
I want to say he was 5.
Oh, that's so young.
Yeah.
Little.
You got to figure, too, death at that point in time has got to be something surprising to a 5-year-old that they wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you guys saw the flash of white light on your level, too, right?
I didn't actually see it, but Laura did.
Laura did.
Yeah, and it was at the end of the hall.
So that was all three of us saw a flash of light.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and then... They're not here with us right now, but Stacy and Karina were up in the attic with Stacy's friend from work. And they were up there investigating. And I can't remember what happened up there. I don't think there was a whole lot that happened to them.
There was a flash of light.
But they did see a flash of light.
They did see the flash light up there.
So you want to touch on what it was, or you want to just let everybody just kind of hang?
Nuts.
Go for it.
We might as well just debunk that right now.
At first, we thought it was paranormal.
So, yeah, at first, we thought it was paranormal.
Yeah, because when we all met, we were all like, oh my gosh, did you guys see a flash of light? And we all realized we all saw a flash of light at the same time.
Exactly.
And so on different levels.
On different levels. And so, and because of the way the windows were, the only type of light that could have come in and been that bright would have been like a landing helicopter. But
yeah, and there's no street. It couldn't have been headlights from a car.
But it was just
because there's no
in the
street
hallway,
traffic.
Though, it didn't come in from the outside windows.
Yeah, it didn't come in from the outside
right.
windows. And so...
So we found out the day we were leaving, at the end of the halls on every floor, there's one of the fire alarm lights. And so if there's a fire, the lights will turn on, they'll flash, and that's kind of like your cue to get out of the building.
Well, and it's also for deaf people that can't hear the alarm, they can see the lights flashing.
Right.
So.
But it's weird that it was only the one time.
It only happened the one time.
But it happened the day we left, too.
And then it didn't happen.
Yeah, but
it didn't happen the second day we were there at all.
No.
But it was weird that it was one flash.
It was just one.
And it's super weird. And you're right. It's super weird. And the thing that we don't know is why. Like, why did it go off in general? Because there was no alarm. Like, we would have known, like, if there was a fire alarm going off, we would have heard the alarm and seen the lights. We would have known something was going on. So it's weird that the lights just flashed on their
own. And it was quick, just like a camera flash,
yeah.
just
so
one time.
So if anybody knows anything about that or has experienced
that. If there's anybody that works for State Fire, can you let us know?
Let us know Absolutely. Why it did that.
Because it was random, because it didn't happen at all the second day we were there.
And all at the same time.
And then it happened in the morning when we were leaving on the third day, not at night. So...
Yeah, and
and we were lucky we even saw that because we were like walking down the hall with our suitcases to go load them up, and right as I saw it go off because it's daylight, how are you going to see a flash of light? And I ran, just lucky caught it right as I about to go down the stairs.
Yeah, and it went off a couple different times that morning because I think you saw it, and then Jamie saw it, or you guys saw it together.
I think we saw it together.
And then you're like, "Hey, we saw it, and then I turned around and started looking at it, and like, oh, that's cool, and then it went off again, and so we saw it go off. It's just weird that we don't know why.
So maybe it was aliens. Terry says it's always aliens for me, so I just had to throw it out there. I don't know that it necessarily could. There's always a chance it could have been paranormal, right?
Yeah, there's always a chance.
They could have triggered that. So it's just weird.
I'm going to say probably not.
I'd say probably not, but what if it was some poor spirit trying to get our attention and giving all their bursts of energy and to say, hey, everybody, glad you're here, and then we're just discounting it.
We had tons of other electronic equipment they could have done it on. And come on.
Yeah, but that got everybody's attention.
That got everybody at the same time.
Get everybody at the exact same time.
I don't think it was a ghost, but it would have been cool if it was.
Yeah, yes. And I was wondering maybe because it's like a lot of those bigger buildings have conjoined fire alarm systems. So like if a fire alarm goes off in another section of the building, all of those lights will
Everything
go off.
Goes off. Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, because there's a family living there, is it possible like they were cooking or baking or something like that and set off their fire alarm?
I think we would have heard it.
We would have heard it.
Because the building was only like the doorways, like at the end of the hallways, was just like a big sheet of plywood over the doors.
Yeah, yeah,
But they're down in their section of their east wing. So I didn't hear them ever.
No, but I think you would have heard an alarm, a fire alarm for sure.
Unless it's like one of the, unless like a smoke detector.
I also think it would have, maybe it's just the batteries in the whole system. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, so we rotated.
We debunked it.
We did.
Rotate.
So we did rotate, and we rotated up. So first, basement came to first floor, and then attic went down to the basement.
Correct.
And I went up into the attic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I went to the bathroom. Just kidding. We went to the second floor.
And we didn't leave the room.
Oh, we're guys. We can just go in the corner.
So
Lisa's like, just kidding.
Do you ladies want to talk about your experience?
Okay, so we moved from the basement up to the first floor, which is where Josh and Mike started at. Set up camp in the great room there,
yep,
which was attached off to the kitchen. And we set up a laser grid pointing
into the kitchen.
Into the kitchen,
yeah,
where you guys kept hearing all of your noises at, which we heard tons of noises happening back over there, too.
Oh, we did.
And it was really hard because you did have the fridges back there, which you weren't sure if it was the fridges making it or not. But we actually saw a shadow move across
and break that grid light.
Say how cool that is? Because we've put up so many laser grids and
I've never seen it yet either.
Yeah.
And so that's cool.
We both saw it. And mm-hmm. The thing is we knew, and it was the dark guy from basement that followed us up to the second floor. And we were kind of making contact and talking to him a little bit through the dowsing rods and stuff. So we knew he was there. We're trying not to give too much attention to him, but we figured out he was standing by the garbage cans that were underneath the window.
Mm-hmm.
On.
But you could like feel him.
Yeah.
Just like staring at us.
You could feel him staring
at us.
He's
in the back of the kitchen by those cans. Well, mostly the back of the kitchen, mm-hmm, and kind of off to the right. And, you know, we're clear over on the other side in the great room. And you could just feel him,
mm-hmm,
just standing there, like with this, like this hate.
And
I
wonder if it was the same one that I felt when I was in the hallway going up the stairs to get my gear.
Good possibility.
Yeah. This is the one that was after Annika.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yep.
He was after Annika is what he was doing. And we called him out. And when we told him we knew that he was standing by the garbage cans, he moved. And that was when mm-hmm. we saw him move across through the laser grid. And he moved over by the fridges.
Yep.
And yeah.
She laughed and go, still see you, dude.
We should have.
I can see your shoes, dude.
We actually had hooked your ovulus up to a speaker.
Yes.
So we could hear it call out the words loud.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of quiet. And there was one point, I can't remember the conversation we were having, what we were saying. And Annika was getting up from one side of the room and was moving over by you.
Yeah.
And right as she was moving, the word boom came out really loud.
Oh yeah, scared her.
Scared her so bad. But I can't remember the conversation we were having because it the word boom came out because of the conversation we were having.
Yeah, and you're right. I can't remember that conversation either.
I can't remember what we're...
But I remember that the response through the ovulus was in correlation to what we had been
talking about. It was part of what we were talking about. I actually was just messaging her, seeing if she could remember. She could not remember.
Yeah,
so I can't either. We weren't recording, so we have nothing recorded of what happened.
Well,
Wait. I had my digital running.
Oh, did you have your digital
running? Yes, I haven't reviewed it, but I had my digital running. So.
Yeah, see, I don't have a recorder, so I don't record.
As she looks at her husband.
What? She could take it anytime she wants to. She declined, like she did the K2. I'm just saying.
But yeah, no, because it was a very intelligent response that came out of it.
Yes.
And it scared her so bad. Like, she literally tripped over her feet and almost fell into the couch.
She did, yeah.
Because it scared her so bad. And, the flux started freaking out on us a little bit on that floor. And because of the creepy guy that was in the kitchen, we kind of just decided to shut things down a little bit.
And we did. We just kind of casually just...
Yeah, Katie showed up a little bit, but we
weren't... Not much.
Not much, because I think she was scared of the guy that was in the kitchen. And just after seeing him move in the laser grid and stuff, we were just kind of like,
But on Mike's subject of seeing a full body apparition... female. We saw one too. In fact, it came and performed for us.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Right there in the kitchen. It did this whole routine. It was awesome.
Was it another one that looked like Elisa?
Exactly like Elisa. It was uncanny.
It was one of the best performances I'd seen in a while. It was great.
And it was quite free. Next time I'm going to charge.
Well, and then it was so funny because like 2 minutes after Elisa, because this went on for like a couple minutes, she just really just put on a whole routine.
What did you come down for?
I don't even know.
What kind of a dance routine did you put on? And am I sorry that I missed it?
There was no pole involved.
No, but were there any chairs?
If anybody doesn't know, Elisa grew up and is a former dancer. So we got quite the show.
It was great. Yeah, and like
you
a minute.
You guys seemed bored, so I decided to entertain you.
And you did. You
came
definitely
to get
did.
Something, but I can't remember what you came to get. I don't know if you left something or...
I can't remember either, but when she left, about 30 seconds later... Karina comes up and goes, "Are you guys about settled up here?"
Because they'd gone from the attic down to the basement.
They were down underneath, and they were directly underneath us. And those, like we said earlier, those floors were so loud.
Oh, yeah.
And so since we were making so much noise walking around, we're like, okay, we can't walk around anymore up here. Not that we were walking around.
I just woke everybody up.
But because of just how negative everything was and trying to protect my daughter and stuff, Jamie and I are just kind of like, we're not going to investigate. We're just going to socialize.
We're going to turn our attention to just
So then
random.
We started talking about pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Where pizza. We wanted to get pizza for dinner the next night. And pizza. I don't know. Jamie and I don't get a chance to actually social and talk to each other very often.
Yeah. So it was actually really nice.
It was really nice just to sit and talk. But yeah, I mean, for what little bit we had, we got a lot of activity just sitting there
in a short period of time.
It was mostly just because of this negative guy, which we're going to circle back to him in a little bit too. So
all right, so going up from the main floor, we moved up to the second floor and we set up our chairs. There are actually some chairs that were set up down at the far end where Elisa had seen the or felt the person staring her down. Yep. Down by the room where Margaret was. So we got up there. We set up some devices. We had a REM pod. We stuck outside one of the rooms. We had
That little like launch car. It was, and if you like touched a button, it would like zoom down the shoot off its launcher. So we put that down. I don't know, halfway down the hall.
And then I think we put like a K2 down there somewhere on the floor.
Yeah, down the hallway too. And then we had a camera pointing down the hall.
And then I just had dowsing rods just sitting on my chair. I had a recorder down there halfway down the hall as well. And the echo, the sound was such in this hallway that you could have heard a mouse fart from one end of the hallway down to the other. I mean, you heard everything.
We did hear the girls having a good time talking. Yeah. But it was weird. It was interesting, though, because... you kind of got this feeling that there were lots of people in rooms looking at us, but no one really wanted to like come out into the hall
None
and
of them
talk.
Would talk to us.
No, it was.
It's because you guys were guys.
It was a boring. No, and that's what's funny about it, though.
But that's why we
it's
had to go
true.
In the rooms.
You were right, though.
But well, you guys had to go in the rooms.
That's
responses.
Why we.
They wouldn't
yeah.
come out.
We did go into some of the rooms too, and just we didn't get anything.
Mm. Yeah, I'm wondering if it wasn't one of those situations, like you're talking about, like dormitories or even like nurses' floor or something like that. It's like, you know, you're talking about the 1950s, right? Like, guys weren't supposed to be on the girls' floor.
That's true.
And so I wonder if it was one of those situations where it was more of like, hey, you guys aren't supposed to be here, so we're not going to talk to you.
It felt that way. It really felt like they didn't want anything to do with us. So to kind of make our story a little bit shorter, not a lot happened while we were sitting up there. We just kind of kept talking and talking and recording, nothing happening. And then finally, Lara and Elisa came down towards the end, and they validated that we were feeling those creepy eyes. They were all looking out from the hallways. And then things started happening a little bit. You know, they're like, oh, well, yeah, this is going on here. And I'm like, well, none of this happened until you guys showed up. Because the girls showed up, and they're like, oh, well, we'll talk to the girls.
Yeah, they did not want to talk to us guys.
Yeah. So the second floor for us was a big nothing burger, honestly. Yeah.
But it was still fun, because like, Mike and I haven't had a chance to investigate by ourselves either. So it was nice to take that first night and just investigate together.
I like the way that we all split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
And then we were going to rotate again, but we didn't. I think, I don't even know what time it was when we finished
up.
Well,
it really wasn't
round.
That late. I think it was just that what happened is, because of what happened with us in the kitchen and this dark guy that was following us around, we really didn't want to do any more.
We did go into the basement afterwards.
I know, that's
oh,
what
we
I was
did,
saying.
That's
we
right.
did, and we ended up, everybody ended up going down to the basement together.
But we never got the full rotation.
But we never
we
got
never,
the full
we
rotation.
We never made it to the attic. We're like, well, we'll just go up there tomorrow.
Because we never made it up to the second floor of the attic ourselves.
Yeah.
But mostly it was just because it started feeling a little dark and nobody really wanted to do.
It was just time to stop.
Anyways, but
you get to a point when you're ghost hunting where you just feel
the rotation,
it's time to stop.
At least Lisa was at the attic on the second rotation.
Yep. And
so
you had some cool stuff going on.
I took
in the
all
attic.
Your ghosts.
You
yeah,
did.
I did.
You took all of our fun stuff.
You're welcome.
You got the
you
coolest.
Guys had a lot of stuff happen.
You guys
up
had
in
the coolest stories.
It was the craziest experience I have ever had.
She's going to tell. She's going to tell. Monty Python.
When we walked up into the attic, the initial feeling was like, oh, this seems pretty empty. Like, didn't really feel like there was anything in there. And he was saying like, okay, or she was saying, so are you feeling anything over here? Are you feeling anything over here? And I'm like, not really. I mean, we really didn't feel anything. And then quickly that changed. We went over towards, so when you walk up the stairs, I mean, the attic is huge, right? It covers the whole length of the floor. So we went over to the right side and we picked up on this male that was kind of like, he acted drunk. He acted like he was drugged or something like that. It was just odd. It was just weird. And he seemed like he was he wasn't answering any questions. He wasn't responding to things. You could feel him, you know, because the air changed. But then suddenly it went from like strange to crazy intense. So I looked down the hall and I saw like, or not down the hall, but down the attic. And on the other opposite end of the attic was, I saw three spirits and they were all white, like head to toe, all white. There was no like descriptive, I couldn't think of the word, clothing or facial expressions or hair or any of that stuff. And
did they have faces?
No.
So was it like three balls of white?
No, it was like full figure.
So you can see that was a person standing there.
100%.
But there was no distinct features on
it. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know if it was male or female or anything, it was just a body.
Well, to me, I mean, like I can tell male, female. So for me it was, okay, I can tell the middle one is taller and he was male. Mm-hmm. And then there was one to the right that was female. And then there was one to the left and that was male.
Okay.
So the one in the middle was taller, right? So then there's the three and they just stood there. And I've seen full body apparitions before, but during ghost hunting, a full body apparition is pretty rare. Like, it's a pretty rare thing.
Yeah.
But for me to stand there and constantly see something, because normally, like, a full body apparition, it's like a blink and it's gone, or it walks past and it's gone and you don't see it. But they just didn't go anywhere. They just stood there.
What kind of a vibe did they give off? Like, when you're looking at them. So it was a very dark, negative, scary, super dark evil vibe.
Yeah, like, it was bad. Like, for me, initially, it was like, I had all these different mixed emotions because, one, how am I seeing this? And two, how am I seeing this? But that it was like the evil coming off of it was really intense. Really, really intense. But I wasn't scared at that point. At that point, you know, I'm just like, this is just crazy. So then Laura picks up on a female spirit that is behind us towards the window. And she seems like kind of acting like a witch is really kind of the vibe that she was getting from this. And so I was like, okay, I've never felt that before, you know, not discounting that that's what she felt, because I'm sure it was. But it was just like one of those things that I had never felt, right? It's another thing that I haven't experienced. So then we started hearing thumps going on behind me. I'm like, what the heck? And I would turn and I would look, and we found out that there were pipes that were popping. And it was like every 43 seconds or something.
Weird.
And they would pop. But then after we called it, after we're like, oh, then that's the pipes. And then we would look over, and those three spirits were now, they were on from the back left. They were at the very end of the hall, or very end of the attic on the left. And now all of a sudden they were on the right side, probably 5 feet up from where they were. So we're like, what the heck is this? I have never seen this. Right, so we're a little bit more creeped out, and then we heard bangs happening right behind us, or behind me, and these bangs were not the pipes; they were different, and it was weird because we would get distracted, right? And I think that was the whole point of these three spirits, is that we were getting distracted by all these other things going around us from the other side, and then so. I look back at the spirits, those three spirits, and then they were again now to the left side and another 5 feet up.
So you were like jumping.
Yeah, like kind of zigzag. But it wasn't that
you never saw them move. They just all of a sudden just boom.
They're just boom all of a sudden there. Like, I didn't see them walk. I didn't see them anything.
Kind of like you would see a figure move with a strobe light, how they just
boom.
It's just like they're there, and then they're there. And
yeah,
there.
It's like you turn on a light, turn off the light, turn on the light, turn off
and
the light.
And getting closer to you.
Like in the movie, Lights Out.
So at that point, I'm starting to get scared. And I think that was the point, because I've never seen this before, and I'm terrified at, you know, thinking that what's their goal. And we're getting distracted by all these other things, and I don't want to take my eyes off of them because they're going to come closer. Well, then we look back because it's getting really intense behind me, and we end up standing up, and we have to make like a protective circle around us to keep us from getting harmed in any way. You know, we're like, okay, you can't touch us. You can't do anything. You know, we are protected, all those things.
Did you do the safety square? This is my safety square. Yes. You can't touch me anywhere.
This is my no-no square. Do not touch me there.
You got to establish rules.
So we did that, and we look back, and now they're like right up to the stairs. So they are right there, and I keep like, okay, am I really seeing this? Are my eyes like creating something? Is my mind creating something that really isn't there? And Laura's like, no, I totally see them. They're right there, there, there. And like, yes, that's exactly where they are. She was seeing the same things I was seeing. We were both just freaking out about it. And then, so at that point, it was really intense. So Laura was really smart, and she's like, well, let's put the fear aside and see what it is that what they actually are. So we started describing them, and we're like, okay. I'm like, I don't feel any emotion coming out of them at all. Like, no emotions. They just feel blank. And she was like, yeah, like zombie-like. I'm like, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. Except for the middle one. You know, like, everything feels zombie-like, except for the middle one. Lara's seeing other spirits at this point that I can't see. And, but we started calling them out. And then we would look at each other, talk about it. And the feeling started to dissipate. Like, it wasn't as thick anymore. And we weren't scared anymore because we were. We weren't scared anymore because we were calling it out for what it was. And we looked over and there's only one. The one in the middle. We're like, you aren't really. There really weren't three. I mean, that's what that was created for us to see. But we don't think there was actually really three.
Was he trying to project that, like, there was three?
Yes. I think the illusion that he was trying to create was that there were more than what there really was to give that intimidation factor, which is what I got on the second floor when I walked up, was that intimidation factor. And I think that's what took all that energy from you guys, you know? But yeah, it was intense. Once we called it out for what it was, there was only one left, and he went all the way back to the back of the attic again. And then it was just gone.
Still a bad dude, though.
Yeah, but it was crazy.
This wasn't
intense.
The old man, was it?
No.
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 Okay. No.
So was this a human entity then, or was it inhuman?
I would say inhuman.
Okay. And I think there's been lots of reports, though, that the attic is, at least at times, very negative. So, but Jamie and I were up there during the daylight, and it was fine. Like, there was.
Yeah, we went up earlier, too, and we didn't feel anything either. Or I didn't
so
feel anything.
So many random
either.
Things up there.
Oh, it's so random.
There's a toilet. Just.
Yeah. Yeah. There was.
So you don't have to run all the way downstairs.
And there was an owlery up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it
like
it wasn't really an owlery, but it reminded us of that from Harry Potter.
No, there was.
Well, probably pigeons, but
pigeons.
But you know, that's like let's face it, like a little pigeon den, like that's America's owlery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, like for all of the American Hogwarts equivalent, we said pigeons.
So we, after that, everybody kind of decided that things were done, right? Jamie and Terry didn't want to really
do
much anymore.
Yeah, because the next rotation, Lara and Elisa were supposed to go to the basement.
Yeah, and I really wanted to go. Lara didn't care too much to go down there.
And so Josh and I are like, we'll go down with you.
Yeah.
And it kind of turned out everybody decided to go down to the basement.
All decided to go to the basement together, except for Stacy and Karina.
And their friend.
They stayed.
They just stayed up on the main level.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stayed on the main level.
So we all went down to the basement, into the ballroom. And there's couches there. There's a lot of folding chairs. There's ping pong table. There was an air hockey table that wasn't
turned
on.
Pool table.
No, it wasn't ping pong. It was just pool. I know there was air hockey.
And I think there was a ping pong table in there, too. I think it was further down.
Either way, it was a big room.
It was a big room. So we all got a lot of equipment out. I think, Mike, you were on your dowsing rods.
I put out the ovulus. Yep, I have the dowsing rods. I set the K2 and recorder down on the pool table, on the edge of the pool table.
Mm-hmm.
I set a IR camera up in the corner.
I mean, I think we took a lot of the toys down there, and we just kind of set them around the room. And recording-wise, so that's where I got the most, going back and listening to recordings, and you got to have good headphones when you're doing listening for EVPs. And I got a lot of things that were suspicious and things where I thought they were something, but they aren't loud enough that they're something that I could clip and then play for you listeners to be able to hear.
It's not a classic.
It's not something where we could put it on the podcast. And so, unfortunately, I don't have anything good for you, treats out of that. For the rest of you team here, if you want to hear them, I'd love to get your opinions on them.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can pull them up here when we're done. But,
do you remember that first thing that you got when we first started? Because you were trying to teach the spirits how to interact with the rods.
I don't refresh my memory. You tell.
So
please.
So you were telling them like, okay, so for yes, do this, like cross them, for no, spread them apart, you know, all that stuff. And then right when you were getting done talking about it, we heard the door creak.
Yep. That was when we got up and decided to shut the door.
That was at 7 minutes and 20 seconds. The door moved.
Yep.
I did have that. That's one of my notes. Okay, so I do have that on the recorder.
But then we just got up and just closed the door fully so it didn't go, wouldn't move anymore, right?
Yeah. But wasn't it like a pretty heavy door?
I think so.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Did we debunk that?
No.
We didn't even try.
I don't think we tried.
We didn't even try.
We didn't even try.
We just got up and shut it.
I think we kind of
get up and shut it.
I think we just kind of tossed it up to the fact that we had a partially open door that moved.
Yeah.
So.
And that can happen with things, you know. Buildings are old, they settle. Yep.
It's not like there was there was no airflow because there was separate heaters for each room. So it's not like it was a heater coming on.
Yeah. Remember, there's those little like mock fireplace
heaters on the wall, fireplaces.
Well, and we did have that kick on us a couple of times. Where it's like, what the crap is that?
Oh yeah, we did because it was at it was set low enough so that it would kick on every so often. I think we just killed it and turned it off.
Yeah. So no, but yeah, it did move, and so we got up and we shut the door so that that wouldn't be a problem again.
But I do remember it made everybody jump.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did. We all heard it.
But and then the rest of it was just talking to things, just talking about spirits, just talking about what we were seeing.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, I interrupted.
No, go ahead.
We found out that we were talking with a Native American, right?
Correct.
There was a Native American, then there was the old guy, the mean old guy.
Frank.
And then there was the one that was after Annika. But we never got his name. Mike made up a name for him.
Yeah, Frank.
Was that Frank?
Yeah, that was Frank.
Mike called him Frank. I have it in my notes.
But that wasn't the old guy. That wasn't the old guy. Because who was the one that pushed the nurse down the stairs?
That was the type 3, I think.
Okay, I'm just going to read you what I have in my notes.
I trust your notes.
Yes.
It says... With the rods, we found out that there was a Native American, and he that was a patient there. Mike called him Frank. He said he killed a nurse by pushing her down the stairs from the attic.
But he wasn't a tuberculosis patient.
No, but I think it was like he had done something to somebody. He had killed somebody or something caused... some sort of tragic event. So they were like, you're going to go here instead of to jail.
And at this point, we weren't sure exactly what...
That's what we got from the rods.
Yeah, that's what we got from the rods. And there were rumors that we didn't have any access to. This is before we had talked to the ladies at the gas station. There were rumors or stories that might have been turned into like a mental hospital. Or, that's what it was. It was a mental hospital.
Mental hospital.
So then we talked to the ladies at the convenience store. And if I remember correctly, they told us that it had actually been like a rehab center for a while.
Which
makes sense, yeah.
Like, and when me and Laura were upstairs, why we felt this guy that was like drugged. Like it felt like not that he was taking drugs for himself, you know, but that he was...
under the influence of something.
Yeah, and that's when we found out. Was it the type 3 that was like messing with their minds and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was how we found out that it was the type 3 that was messing with their minds. And so you had these people that were in this rehabilitation center for drug, you know, use or whatever. And he was getting in their minds and messing with their minds. And so you had this Frank guy that supposedly pushed a nurse down the stairs and killed her. And that was the guy that we kept having problems with and was after our daughter.
Yeah, and well, obviously, his real name isn't really Frank, but that's just what we come up with. We do that all the time.
He wouldn't give us a name.
He wouldn't give us a name.
Most of the time, they don't. Frank.
Yeah. And then, eventually, he came over and started playing with my hair. And I was like, I don't know why they like to play with my hair. It drives me up the wall.
Because it's pretty.
But he was like pulling and tugging on the back of my hair and stuff, and I was like, don't touch me. And then I actually kind of got really, I got really heavy. And actually, I actually asked you to put your hand on my shoulder to kind of ground me at one point, just because it was getting so heavy and stuff in there.
I tend to be the grounder, apparently.
But we did find out that all of the spirits were in cahoots, not all the spirits, but all the negative entities in the building, which were a lot, were all in cahoots together, which is not
right.
normal.
Well, and one of the things that was interesting about Frank is we're sitting here, we're talking to Frank, and Frank is like the bully in the room, right?
Yeah.
He's the one, he's playing with Terry's hair. He was the one that was making everybody feel creepy and everything. But then at one point, we felt the energy of that type three, that inhuman spirit, if you don't remember what a type three is, an inhuman spirit, that one from the attic, came down and was standing in the hallway just outside the door that we had shut. I mean, and you could feel it.
Oh,
the
yeah.
energy totally shifted.
And it feels like you're being watched.
And you could feel that Frank was scared.
Yeah, because then he went down, way down in the corner and was hiding down in the corner away from us.
And then Frank did answer that, yeah, he was afraid of that spirit. And so it's just like everything, there's always a chain of command. And Frank's a bully until the bully, the real bully shows up. And
yeah.
Well, and you got to wonder, too, because like, there's the subclasses of type 2s, right? And the one subclass of type 2s are the ones that are basically being controlled by a type 3. So you got to wonder if like all of the type 2s that were there were just... The reason why they all worked together is because they were all being controlled by the same... single entity.
They all taking orders, yeah. Like, quite likely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, I think a lot of it, because it was that rehab center, or there is a rehab center in Gooding anyway, so like it's still in operation. So you got to wonder, because of those types of altered mental states, like that's prime type three, like
totally.
Feasting grounds.
Totally.
Well, yeah. Even if there was like squatters there, you know, when the building wasn't being
used you know for there something. Were, you know there are people hanging out and squatting in those buildings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that brings a whole nother energy, the whole negative energy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're under the influence of something, if we haven't explained it well enough before, if you're under the influence of something, your abilities to defend yourself, your psychic abilities to just ward off negative energy is greatly diminished. And so you become very... easy pickings.
Susceptible to...
Yeah.
That's why when you go on public investigations with groups and stuff, their number rules are like, no alcohol, no drugs, no... You know, they're very... Because you don't want to inhibit your ability
you gotta
to do
keep your
like
guard
that.
Up. You got
to
keep your guard up.
Well, and the thing, too, the like, mental illness, too, it you know, you become makes you become vulnerable as well. So you got to figure these people that are in these situations are highly susceptible because either... of substance abuse or even just altered mental state in general.
Right. I remember we determined that that this inhuman spirit, this boss, really got off on the fact that he could mess with people.
Oh, he got off on it.
That was like
he loved being able to mess
loved
with their
it.
Minds.
That was what he thrived for. That's why he stayed there. It's like
I mean, he was kind of a weak tech. He was a weak type three.
Yeah,
but
most of them.
But that's why I think up in the attic, why he created himself as being these three spirits, when in all reality. Guess what?
To intimidate.
He was only
one.
Well,
because he knew the two of you had a lot more power than he did.
But imagine, too, though, like, if you're someone who is, you know, already under the influence, imagine what seeing like that in itself would make you think.
Be horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would absolutely just mess with you.
That'd be horrifying.
Yeah. And so I'm sure it just, because it just loved to just screw with people's minds.
So kind of at that point, since it kind of started getting dark, we're like, all right, we're done.
There was
it's
one
time
point
to go to bed.
There was that kind of weirded us out. We saw somebody walking by outside with a flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
This is like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
We know the family next door has gone to bed, right? They're,
I think it was even later than that.
It was might have even been later than that.
I think we went to bed till almost like 5 or 6
I think it was
in the
morning.
So it was after that 4 o'clock hour.
It was almost like
so
4.
So we see somebody walking by and they're like, have a flashlight. It's just like... Who the heck would be out walking around outside the building? And we never found out.
Yeah.
It was just...
No.
Because it was outside.
It was just
it wasn't
weird.
Outside the door. It was like outside the windows,
outside the windows.
In the yard.
Yeah.
Like out front in the yard.
And
well, and your family members, they were upstairs sitting down.
Stacy and them were on the second
Nobody,
floor.
None of our team...
Was outside.
Was outside.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I did ask the family... the
oh,
next
that's right.
Day.
You did ask the next day.
And I asked them if they were outside at that time. And they said no, they were all inside.
They might have done like a ground sweep or something
so
like that.
So who was it?
We don't know.
Never know.
We don't know.
And it could have been some guy walking back from the convenience store.
Yeah. to like, where? There's nothing out there.
It's a beer run.
At 4 o'clock in the morning?
To the middle of nowhere. We'll cut past the old abandoned hospital.
B-W-E-W-R-U-N.
Right?
And then 20 miles down the road to the next house. No, I don't know. Maybe it was the ghost of a hospital guard.
That would have been insane, because that would have been really cool. That was everybody in the room that saw that person, and that person was solid.
Or, yeah, Terry, what's the other option it could have been?
Aliens.
I think it was a person, but and why?
I know. Yeah, it was kind of just, that's the joy of investigating where you're sleeping. You can stay up as late as you want.
Yeah.
But then also trying to sleep after you're investigating where you're sleeping.
Whatever, I slept so good.
There's an old phrase that says, don't poop where you sleep. You know, and that's what we did.
We slept good too, but.
Now, we did set up a crystal grid in our room.
We had a crystal grid in our room.
And same with us.
Yeah.
So did you. And we did not.
So we slept great. How'd you guys sleep?
No, we did have
phenomenal. Honestly,
yeah, remember how we were going to circle back around of what happened to you guys in your room?
We did have one spirit in our room.
We did have one in our room.
It was a lady.
It was an older lady.
She was a cross spirit, and it was the grandmother, I think it was, of the lady who runs the place. Or was it her mother?
She just kind
of
hung out in the corner.
She was cool
by where I slept. She was cool. She didn't bother us. She was fine.
Tell us about room. But
what happened to room three?
Yeah, so after a long night and early morning investigating, Josh and I went to room three.
Trying to go to sleep.
You know, we get ready for bed. Josh is out in like 3 minutes. By the way, you suck. I just can't.
As soon as that head hits the pillow, they're out. Gone.
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
These stupid minds of ours that don't stop when we're trying to sleep.
Exactly. So we have our heater on. The room's pretty toasty. It's warm. I crawl under the covers. I am a little amped up from the investigation, you know, strange bed.
Well, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was great. But, you know, knowing the place is haunted, knowing that the room we're staying in is an actively haunted room.
You've just stirred up everything in the building you're sleeping in.
And then we're going to bed. So I roll over on my left side, and I'm kind of facing the nightstand. And I remember pulling the covers up, like, way up over my head. Like, they were up over my nose. And the only thing was, like, the top of my head, my eyes up. And I closed my eyes, and I got the tablet on the nightstand with a show on, just to kind of, you know, even out my mood there. And I'm starting to drift off, and I feel like the covers like being kind of pulled away from my nose, not like down, but away from my nose.
Like up?
Yeah. Well, no, like just like
off of your nose.
Because I'm laying on my side, so it's like they're pulling it away from my nose.
Is it like if you have a mask on your face and you're pulling the mask forward?
Yes. Yeah. So it was pulling it forward off of my nose. And at first I thought, well, Josh is moving because he's a cover hog too. So I thought, you know, he's just moving and adjusting. And so, you know, he's pulling the covers off. So I didn't think anything of it. I didn't open up my eyes. I didn't get the feeling that there was anything there. You know, I wasn't even thinking along those lines. I was just listening to my tablet. And then all of a sudden I get this ice cold gust of like breath in my face.
Oh my god.
And it was cold, and that room was toasty. No.
Good.
It was just like arctic. It was just like,
that's crazy.
You know?
That's crazy.
And I'm like, and I open up my eyes and I'm looking around, and of course I don't see anything, but then, you know, I get the goose flesh and stuff, and you know, eventually I fell asleep when the sun came up. I actually fell asleep. So.
And you did tell me about it too.
Oh. Sorry everybody.
And Jamie is going to self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Countdown.
The crazy thing is, Jamie told me about that. And the funny thing is I kind of dismissed it because it's like, I'm tired and it's probably nothing. And in the morning, and it must have been, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock. So I don't know what, 4 hours after we went to bed.
Less than that. Because I know we didn't get to sleep till almost 6.
Yeah,
but
early.
Although Mike showered before he went to bed, so
smart man. But yeah, so like it was, so the sun was up, and I'm just laying there, and I felt the same thing. I felt this like, and it was cold, and I'm like, it's almost like air conditioner cold, like if you're like right in front of an air conditioner. Now my first thought was, it's a window. There's a breeze blowing through the window. That's all it is. And then I finally got up in the later and I looked at the windows. I'm like, those are solid and sealed shut.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't that. And so I was like, that was kind of cool. But that's the only thing that we ever had happen in that room was just we got breathed on.
It was something, though.
It was something.
Yeah.
It was cool. Neat because, like, we spent the night in Lava Hot Springs and we had nothing happen there.
Mm-hmm. But you guys never really found out who it was or what or anything, which would be funny because, according to the episode of Ghost Adventures, there was a little kid in that room where you could see a little kid just like, hi, you know?
It's
like,
yeah.
Wake up, you know?
Can I play with you?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because there was nothing malicious. Not like they were scratching or anything like that. It was just kind of a, you know? So.
Yeah, and I didn't get any feeling of
I had to readjust.
I didn't get any feeling of any negativity in that room at all. But yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on to our second.
The second night.
Second
night.
Most investigations we go on, we don't have a two-day investigation. This is like a first for Terry and I.
Well, and normally you need that second day to recover because you are
Like we said earlier,
paranormal hangover.
But we planned for breakfast. We brought games to hang out and play games. Like,
oh my gosh, we paid Skippo for how many hours?
Like, it was so fun.
So fun.
We'll all be up at like 2, 3. So anyway. For night two, we had a lot of things planned. We ended up not doing them.
Yeah, we ended up having...
We ended up just kind of having a team meeting, BS session.
Powwow.
We just kind of hung out and talked.
In the great room, just talking about things, talking about issues and things. And it was interesting because I think the spirits had a lot planned for us. For that night.
For the second night.
And yet, here we are, we're just sitting in the great room. And so...
And not investigating.
Rather than us coming to them, they came to us.
They came to us. Yeah.
In a big way, too. Because you could feel...
Oh, my gosh.
The energy around. Like, you could just feel how, like, we were covered by people.
Well, yeah. Right. Well, and back to hearing all the noises in the kitchen. All the lights on. All of us are sitting there. Yet, we're still hearing noises over in that kitchen again.
Uh-huh.
And this time, I don't think they were the fridge and stuff.
No.
We were hearing spirits. But you could feel them that way. We could all feel them. I'm not that sensitive.
We could all feel them.
I could feel them.
You could just feel. And like where we were sitting, we could hear. Granted, there was a little breeze coming through the windows. It was windy, but like it was weird because like this wave of cold would come over and it would go away. And then it would get cold and then it would go away.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a heavy feeling with that cold, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something...
It's not like a cold where you feel a breeze coming through the window. Yeah, it was not...
you've investigated it before, you know that feeling.
It was like... It was going through all of us.
Yeah.
It was making the rounds. And it wasn't... Like, normally, if you feel a breeze through the window, it's like, you know, it hits the group that's closest to it first, and then it hits everybody across the hall a little bit later.
If it even gets across the hall.
Yeah.
Depending on how far the breeze
gets.
For us,
it was all really cold. And it just went to one person, the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. It was just, that was crazy.
See, and then you could feel the eyes peering. So we were talking about how we were on the second floor, and we could feel all those people peering out from the doorways to Josh and I as we were up there. But none of them wanted to talk. Well, this one, we could feel all of those eyes, like the hallway was packed.
Oh,
and you
could
feel them looking in that door, just watching us, just like...
Well, you had to go across the hallway to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisa went to go and use the restroom.
Yeah, I had been holding it for a long time.
Because the conversation was so good, you didn't want to leave.
I know.
But you also knew it was out in the hall. And you didn't want to go out in the hall.
I know.
Because eventually, because we were hearing all those noises, we could feel all those eyes. We actually ended up closing all the doors.
Yeah.
So nothing could see through the doorways into where we were at.
Yeah, it was so intense. And it was just like... Like, I don't know. It literally felt like there was like 50 people out in the hall ready to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Is the energy that you feel. So.
Yeah, and Josh, you heard something out in the hallway.
Yeah, that's when Elisa walked out to go to the bathroom.
But then I turned around.
And it sounded like, a hiss.
It was a hiss.
Or a growl, but it was loud. Jamie was sitting next to me on the couch. She heard it, and it's like, of all the nights we didn't have any recording equipment on, like, that would have been the night to have something running.
Right.
Because it was, that building felt electric.
I thought you heard something before she used the restroom, though. And that's what instigated.
No. Well, we all heard it at the same time. I don't know.
I don't remember. See, I thought he heard something, which kind of also instigated closing the doors.
Yeah, I think.
Besides having a feeling.
Well, we were hearing a lot of bumps out there.
Yeah.
We were hearing and it wasn't like a door closing, and it wasn't like footsteps. Mm-hmm. They were like people banging mm-hmm. on things. It wasn't pipes. It wasn't the same, and they were irregular. But when I was turning around, because I had originally walked out to go to the bathroom by myself. And then once I walked down the hallway, it's like, nope.
Yeah, so then we're like, in our case, so then our room was actually just down the hall a little bit from the bathroom, and we had a bathroom connected to our room.
So I was just going to go there.
Since we had our crystal grid in our room, you took Annika with you.
Yeah, so I turned around and was coming back, and
You didn't want to go by yourself.
Yeah, and that's when I got the hiss.
So we're like, go use our bathroom. There's the crystal grid. You'll be safe. And then Annika's like, "Want me to go with you?" And you're like, "Yes."
Because that hiss was loud.
There is power in numbers, people. Power
in
numbers.
Right in my ears. And that's why we don't like anyone to investigate or go off on their own. Mm-hmm. That was a perfect prime reason on mm-hmm. why you don't. Because I was in the hall. I wasn't far from everyone. But mm-hmm. I was alone in the hall enough to get a loud hiss that multiple people heard.
Yeah. Well, and then you even said just going from the hall, from where we were at in the great room to the hall and into our room, the feeling difference and how much safer you felt in where our crystal grid was at versus coming back out to
us. It felt like a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. It really did. It felt like a burden lifted off my shoulders is really what it felt like when I walked into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying we should have moved our meeting over into our room?
It still would have been intense in the hall.
Because you were feeling stuff, and
I was sitting with my back.
There was pressure on your shoulders.
I was sitting on the couch closest to the fridge or to the kitchen, mm-hmm. and between the kitchen and all the couches, so they're kind of in a semicircle. There's a big hall there's kind of a big part of the room that has a bunch of big tables in there.
Big long tables,
like
long
a
tables.
Dining room area. Yeah.
And so I was on the couch with my back to the kitchen, and I was closest to the kitchen, and I could feel them just as things got closer. You could feel them kind of closing in, and they actually got up to a point to where, do you feel something?
No.
You just look like you're like, something touched me.
No.
Okay. I could feel them creeping up on my back, and I could actually feel one like right on me.
Yeah.
You could feel that cold air. You could feel the energy and that heaviness, and I'm like, there is something right on me.
And then at that point, because my back is facing the wall, so I'm like looking straight into the kitchen, and I'm just like at a stare down with, I don't know, whatever ghost it was, whatever spirit it was, or plethora of spirits that were in that room. But I was like, all right, this is getting pretty intense. And then I'm looking over to the window behind Mike, and something is, I can tell that they're out that window looking in. I can't see anything physically, but you just know they're there. You just know they're staring at you. You just get that creep vibe, right? So then I stand up and I walk over and I close the curtains, and that's when you're like, was there something behind me? Because I'm totally feeling it. And it was at that exact same time. So it's good because it's validation that we're both getting it at the exact same time.
Then they came inside because, it just kept getting heavier and heavier.
Uh-huh.
Over there in the area where all the tables were, you could just feel like that room was just chuck full.
They were coming in, and they were like surrounding us. It wasn't even just we're coming from one direction. We're coming from all directions. We're coming from the window on the outside to the right. We're coming from the kitchen in front, and then we're coming to the side from the hall. Like, we were getting surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was crazy because you tried to close the blinds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nope, that's not good enough. They can still see. And so you adjusted the blinds again, the drapes again.
Yeah.
And which was funny because those were the windows that we were getting like the coldness from behind me and Annika. We can, that was to our backs. But
yeah.
And it was like, there was like waves of cold. It was weird. It was really weird. It wasn't like a normal like breeze blowing.
This wasn't cold temperature cold. This was, like I said before, if you've mm-hmm. investigated before, you know exactly what
it,
we're talking about.
It, like, hits you and, like, chills you straight to the bone.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's,
and
it's
it wasn't that
thing.
Cold outside.
No.
No. Mm-mm. It was actually quite pleasant outside.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. So then we were getting everyone coming closer and closer and closer, and then I got to a point where they're all up behind the couch. Like, they're all up behind all of us.
Mm-hmm.
In front of me, but behind all the rest of you.
Because they were over behind Josh, because Josh was over on his on the one couch, and then Mike was on the other couch.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways.
Yeah, and so I stop the meeting, and I'm like, okay, guys, we need to say a prayer, because they're too close for comfort. And what's smart when you're investigating is to protect yourself. And your body is your best tool, and all of us were feeling it. And we all knew that that was too close, and we needed to set our boundaries. So we stopped, and Mike, you said a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it made a big difference.
Huge. Yeah.
Well, it's also just knowing when to stop and say the prayer, or to stop and fix the problem. Because there's people, when it gets to that point where it's like, oh, we can get some good stuff.
Yeah.
So then they start poking the bear, and then that's when a lot of the bad stuff starts happening.
Well,
so,
kind
of knowing.
We wouldn't have had to poke much at this point.
We didn't have to poke much at that point.
It
but
was
knowing,
heavy.
Knowing when to stop and to take care of the problem.
Had we even, like, poked, I think we'd have been, like, jumped on, like.
Yeah, we would have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were just waiting.
They were just waiting for an invitation.
They were waiting for any kind of,
invitation.
Acknowledgement of anything, or invitation for anything.
Because as soon as I started staring them down, that's when they started getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they were getting acknowledged.
They were ready for a challenge.
And as soon as that prayer was over, it was like, snap.
It felt like your day. It felt like your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like everything cleared up.
And you could tell that they were still back there,
yes.
But they backed off way back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They went into their own space.
Back to, like, the kitchen
area. They were back out of our no-no square. Yeah.
So after that, we talked just a little bit longer after that, and then we decided, well, it's early in the morning. And
we finally realized it was 5 a.m. We did not know it was 5 a.m.
We decided we needed to drive home in the morning and
checkout was at like 10.
11.
So like wow, you got 6 hours.
We had
the Home Alone experience where it was like, Kevin, not Kevin. It wasn't the Kevin. It was the airplane where they woke up late for the airplane. And
yeah.
So they were trying to get everything loaded and get to the airplane on time.
So I know
that was us trying to check out.
I know Stacy and his friend were leaving early. I remember right.
His friend was only there the first night.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So Stacy was leaving early. So
they left at 7.
Stacey
Jamie
Krina
stayed up, right?
Yep.
Well, she stayed
up. We both stayed up. We didn't, like, there was no sleeping.
So you
I did
say
not
goodbye.
Sleep.
She's like, I heard snoring.
I believe Jamie.
Oh, guys snore when we're awake. That's a talent.
You slept. I stayed awake. And then when I heard them in the kitchen getting ready and stuff, I woke you up and had you walk with me down the hall to let them out so that I could lock the door.
I seem to remember this differently.
And that's how the fight started.
Yep.
I trust Jamie.
We're just going to go ahead and say Jamie's right, because she's always right.
Well,
that's
you
what
have
I learned.
Three.
Terry's always right.
You have three against one. I think the three females are all going to side on Jamie's
side.
I'll
back with him, but I'm just going to go ahead and just, I know.
We're still outnumbered.
It's easier just to say she's right and let it go.
Yeah.
But so we got a little bit of sleep, and then we headed home.
Yep. Yeah, it was an all in all, I think it was a great investigation, and I think it, like all good investigations, they leave you wanting to come back and get more.
Right,
we're going back.
Oh, we are.
Just about when? We got to figure that out.
We don't know yet, but
no, we don't know yet. But we will be going back.
Hopefully, within the next year, maybe.
100% worth it.
It'll be this year.
Worth it.
So, yeah, I think it will be. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and.
And for one lucky listener that wants to pay for the whole endeavor, we'll take you with us.
Yes.
I will take more pictures this time.
So I hope you enjoyed it. We'll definitely tell you more about the next investigation when you go back up. And just want you guys to know that as we speak, there's 166 days until Ghostbuster comes out.
Woohoo!
Who's
Ghostbusters
excited?
Afterlife, the next one.
Yes. This is a big
Can't
thing.
Wait.
Maybe we should, I don't know, we'll talk about it. Maybe we should do something where we do a raffle, invite a listener to come to a movie with us, and we'll go as a team.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
No promises, but I don't know. That just sounds cool.
Yeah.
Hey, if they're still doing the whole thing where you can rent out a whole theater for $100.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
I think they're doing it. They'll probably still do it.
If you're not in Utah, I'm sorry. You have to cover your own fees.
We're not going to pay your airfare.
No way.
Yeah, a private watch party.
Yeah. That would be cool.
100%.
All right, kids. Well, we're going to get out of here.
Make sure you find us on Facebook at Cold Spot Paranormal Research. Come follow us. Come join our group on there.
We've been getting some more followers lately.
Yep. Tell your friends and family about us.
We have a few that have been coming in.
And then you can find us on Instagram.
Yeah, we're on Instagram at coldspot_paranormal_research. Come find us. Come follow us. I posted some really cool pictures and some funny stuff.
Of Ningen?
Uh-huh. That and yeah. Anyways.
Did you post the angry birds with like Bigfoot feet?
Oh, definitely that one got posted.
Yeah, I love that one.
I didn't post. Yes, I did. Yeah, okay, I did post that one.
And the iceberg sideways with his face.
Yeah, the iceberg face. I posted that one. Yeah. And I actually did post a sunfish in the middle of all that.
Yes,
that
you
is
did.
A real fish.
Yeah.
And they are huge.
So I got to figure out which one is a real fish. I also posted something about Zoom meetings in modern day too. Modern day seances. Anyways, come check us out on Instagram.
Any other sites you can find us at? If you have any investigations, if you got something going on in your house and you're too nervous to, I don't know. If you want us to come check it out, send us an email. You can go to paranormalhope.com. You can send us a message there and we're happy to come check it out for you.
Absolutely.
No cost. We never charge for investigations.
Not even gas costs.
For residential investigations, we figure we've been given the blessing of experience and... yeah.
We'd be happy to help you.
We just want to share that and help. There's no point for anybody to be scared where they live, so.
No. All right.
I probably could have said that a lot more concisely.
Probably.
Sorry. Have a good night, kids.
Stay ghosty, my peeps. Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps Podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal_Research.